You're not sick, Amelia, no.
No?
No, you're a little farsighted.
This is the Farsighted Network.
This is the Farsighted Network.
This is the Farsighted Network.
Thanks for listening.
Enjoy the show.
Hey everybody, we are back. This is Dino
and Michelle,
and this is Huh Podcast. And you know, I forget every time to say that we are on iTunes, and we are on, I guess, I think Google Play, and we're on Podbean. And I always mention, I always say we're with Farsighted Network, but I always forget to say where you can find us. Because I just kind of assume we kind of drop everywhere, but that might be a little presumptuous. But
if they're hearing this, they know where to find us.
Right.
Because they found us.
And then they probably know people who listen to podcasts and go, hey, this is where I hear them. You go there too. So,
sure.
Do that. Okay? You may have noticed we have a little different intro music. Go over to YouTube. I posted two videos a couple weeks ago. That was from an old band I was in. I played bass and vocals. I posted some of our audio tracks up there. So go and give a listen. So, that's that. We have a kid screaming in the background.
I don't think that was a scream. That sounded more like a howl. Our children are howling at the moon.
Wonderful. So.
We try and keep them quiet, but you know what? They're kids.
Yeah.
We have a family.
Yeah.
It's part of what this podcast is about.
Yeah, that's true. We're organic. There you go. How have you been? I know, dead, busy.
Yeah.
Exhausted. But chucking along.
Did I say I like working in a deli? Wait, no.
You said you did like working at a deli.
No. I like it.
Subject to change.
I like it. But it's like any other job, you find things that
irk you.
Yeah. And then you've gotta work your way through them, and it's kind of, I'm at that stage right now. Where it's like, okay, I found all the things that I don't care for. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to figure out, okay, well, how do I look past those?
Right.
And move forward.
Right.
Because, you know, I'm very big on customer service. And, of mm-hmm. course, this is a customer service-oriented job.
Yes.
So I want to make sure that while I'm there, I'm happy and smiling and giving the best customer service that I can.
Mm-hmm.
And not letting those things that irk me
right.
show through. And I'm right. having a little bit of difficulty with that right. at the moment.
And you're kind of in the place where you're been there long enough where the bloom is off the rose.
Uh-huh.
The honeymoon phase is over. Uh-huh. But you're still new enough where you don't want to be that person that comes in and starts pissing and moaning.
Right.
You know, and like,
I mean, I've already talked to the managers about the things that irk me.
Right.
I've already talked to them about it, and I've already apologized to them because I feel like I go to them every day with something.
Right.
And I said, and I don't like that. I don't like being the person who complains. And
mm-hmm.
I said, I feel like I am that person.
Right.
At the moment.
Right.
And they assure me that I'm not going to them with complaints, but that I'm going to them with legitimate
mm-hmm.
things that are wrong.
Right.
And they've assured me that they
have taken note.
That they've taken note that they're going to rectify the situation, but...
Well, that's good. At least you're being... You feel like you're being heard.
Yeah.
So...
But enough about that.
Right.
So, I'm on a four-day weekend.
Because
I called them sick.
No, you were.
I was. I still kind of am, so...
Yeah.
I apologize to everybody if I seem not my typical self, but...
So, all right, well, TV viewing. I finished Lucifer.
Yay!
Yay! So now we're waiting for that fifth season to drop on Netflix.
I even showed you the trailer for that.
Yeah, so I'm real excited. I love that show, man. Really good.
I actually told Killian yesterday that it has replaced The Walking Dead for me as my favorite show.
Oh, wow.
And I still get to watch it because Killian hasn't finished the season yet, so I get to keep watching it.
That's true. Yeah. And you caught up on the Netflix, All Eyes Zombies on Netflix.
Yes. Yes. There's a fifth season. It was
It's still running on CW, right?
On CW, but when you go to the CW app, it doesn't have all the episodes.
Right.
Now I can get the complete season on Amazon Prime for $30, but no, I'd rather wait.
Yeah.
And then over the last 2 days, I watched the whole Another Life.
Okay.
On Netflix.
Yeah.
As a Netflix original. You haven't even seen.
No, I haven't.
If I'm not mistaken.
I didn't even know it was a thing.
Well, I think the day that I started watching it was the day that it...
That it dropped?
That it dropped.
Okay.
And it's only 10 episodes.
Okay.
And it was when I was sick. So, you know, you can...
Put it on.
You can kind of binge.
Right.
That one, binge very easily that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I wound up seeing all of them. I liked the story.
Mm-hmm.
I liked... The shots, nothing, you know, everything.
Yeah.
I liked everything about it, but I do, as a Christian parent, and just as a Christian in general, think about it before you watch it.
Okay.
There's some graphic sex scenes.
Mm-hmm.
With more than one individual involved, more than two individuals involved in the scenes.
Right.
And there's just, you know, as a Christian, there's some other things that might ruffle feathers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some things more than others.
Right.
And depending on what your specific beliefs are.
Yeah. Where your convictions are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I enjoyed the show. I enjoyed the storyline. The characters were well written, well acted.
Right.
The effects and everything for a space show were done very well. You know, maybe one day you'd be interested in watching it, but again, I'm not going to force it.
Right.
Because of... And all those things actually come... And I think in the last 3 or 4 episodes. So it kind of hooked me more.
So it wasn't
on
something
No.
Right.
It happened like once.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was two simultaneous kind of sex scenes going on, but it was both in the same episode.
Right.
And it only happened that once. Other than that, it was really more of a, here comes.
A friendly neighborhood train.
You know, it was more of the sci-fi. You had a storyline going on in space. You had a storyline going on here on Earth. You know, so I really didn't think anything of it. And that's actually, Killian was watching the first part of the show with me. I think he started watching in episode 3 or something like that. I wound up falling asleep.
Uh-huh.
See, this, I'm going to give you guys a parent faux pas.
Yeah.
I fell asleep and, you know, I really wasn't concerned about him watching it because it was more of just that sci-fi type show. And he stayed up and watched, and he said he watched till like almost the last episode.
Mm-hmm.
And when I watched it the next day and realized, oh, wait a minute. Did he see that? You know, I kind of went, uh-oh, I kind of failed on that one.
Right.
Now, he says that there was something, but he can't describe it for me because he realized it was something he wasn't supposed to watch or something that you or I would not want him watching. So he says he closed his eyes and kind of put his hand over his ears and wait until he thought that scene, you know, so he did kind of police himself. And for that, I give myself a proud mommy moment, you know, that he recognizes that there are some things that we wouldn't care for him to watch, and he's willing to police himself.
Right. And there are people, some of y'all out there probably like, yeah, sure, you know. Yeah, he didn't watch it. Yeah. Yeah, I believe him. Because there have been times where I've been sitting on my recliner watching a movie with him that I had seen before, but I forgot that something was in there, and it popped up.
Breasts.
Right. And I'm like, oh! And I turned to go Killian, and he already had his head ducked in, you know, I'm not looking, you know.
So, I mean, he considers crap to be an official curse word.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So, I mean, he does, you know, we have tried our best to keep him innocent.
Yeah, and it's not, you know, we're not under any delusions. Yeah, but he's going to be 12, so we do want to, you know, I feel like I was exposed to things far too young in my life. You know, I had two older bros. You know, significantly older. Public school. You know, two older brothers. I was exposed to crap, you know. And, you know, just trying to keep some innocence until, you know,
But, yeah, so, I mean, and don't get me, there wasn't nudity.
Right.
There wasn't any nudity in these scenes. It was heavily implied. You didn't even see a breast. Right. I mean, it wasn't, but you saw girl kissing one guy, girl kissing guy number two, guy number one and guy number two kissed.
Right.
You know,
well, and the same thing.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, there was just heavy implications, but nothing visual.
Oh, right. Nothing overt. Right.
So, but yeah, so just...
smart kid and,
Yeah, and I know that I can trust him. But for you guys, again, I do recommend the show. I liked the show. Yeah. So far, it's just those 10 episodes, and it left it on a big cliffhanger.
Right.
So I'm guessing they're kind of weighing their options as to whether they're going to move forward and continue the story, I guess, depending on the feedback they get on that. So, I mean, it was a good little show, but just beware of that.
Yeah. And I started watching on Prime the show The Boys, which is based on comic books that I've never read. I never even knew about the show until they started advertising it coming up. And it's kind of a Watchmen-esque type of thing. Where, you know, they're heroes, but in this one, they are corporate-owned heroes. You know, all the movies, they have the movies, they have the merchandise, they have the, you know, snack cakes and breakfast cereals and all this that advertise these real heroes, and it's all this big corporate thing. And I've got two episodes in. It's good. It's not for kids. I mean, it's violent. There's, you know, some, you know, like I said, there's only two episodes that I saw, but there's a heavy Me Too moment in there, with a girl that comes in. She's part of this group called, going in to become part of this group called The Seven, which is kind of like Justice League. And this guy that is this Aquaman-esque character basically says, I'm the number two man. If you want to be in, you got to blow me. And, you know, and so it is, and then it's her dealing with that. I mean, it's good. It's well written, well acted. I really enjoy it. And I forgot the one of the characters is actually the son of Dennis Quaid and Meg Ryan. And he's a very good actor. And I think he was in, might have been Hunger Games also. But that's good. What else was there?
You had me watch The Good Place.
Oh, The Good Place. Yeah. If anyone hasn't seen that, that's on Netflix right now. I think it's at ABC? NBC. ABC?
It's ABC.
It feels ABC, like that ABC comedy type of thing.
I could be wrong, but I thought I remember seeing the ABC logo.
Yeah, it has Ted Danson and I forgot her name. Anna from Frozen. And she dies and
she goes to the good place
as opposed to the bad place. But there happened to be someone who died around the same time as her with the same name, and she was supposed to go to the good place, and this one, and she and Flamingo does not. And it basically, the good place is a finely tuned machine that any, you know, any sand in the cog will destroy everything, and it's kind of happening.
Yeah, it's kind of unraveling.
And it's hilarious. Just because of how, you know, out of all these beings of people, there's, what, a couple hundred that are, like, qualified to get in a good place. Mm-hmm. So, theologically, you could rip it apart, you know, and do that. And we may end up doing that once we make it through.
I think, though, if I remember, he was talking, Ted Danson's character.
Michael. Archangel Michael.
Right, and he was talking about how this is the first time he's been allowed to
design
a community. So it almost sounds like there's multiple.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Good places.
Right.
And it, because they, in that, not to give away too much, but in that, I think it's been on long enough.
Yeah.
In that first episode, they're having orientation day. So everybody that's in that particular community
just got there.
Just died.
Yeah.
So they all died at the same time, and they all went to that specific community. So it sounds to me, because Michael had said that he's been asking for a long time to design a community, and they finally gave him the chance. So it seems to me like there's probably several communities with hundreds of people in each one. I mean, it still says that that it's only like the top 3% get to the good place.
Right.
You know, some
based
like
on
that.
The weight of your deeds, you know, everything you do.
Yeah.
Everything, you know, buying a can of soda or, you know, parking in a non-parking, everything has a ripple effect that weighs either pro or con on the giant collective.
Right.
And,
oh, I mean, one of the first things that I mentioned to you is the set.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, the set looks so much like The Prisoner.
Right, the village in the 60s TV show, The Prisoner, which if you haven't seen that, that's on Prime. See that?
I actually Googled. I Googled The Good Place Prisoner set.
Yeah.
And there is a link. It's not the, it was so close, and it was so reminiscent. I actually thought that they might have used the same set and just kind of updated it for this. I couldn't find anything to that end, but I did see articles written about The Good Place where they mentioned The Prisoner and how that is, they designed it that way.
Oh, wow. Cool.
That it was meant to call on that.
Oh.
And that there is a connection between that storyline.
The Good Place and
that not a connection. That connection's the wrong word. They're not related in any way.
But it is a callback.
But the writers.
Right. It was an inspiration.
Yeah.
So they did inspire the Good Place to be like the Village.
Yes.
That is cool.
Yeah. So I'm like, oh, I recognize that. Ooh.
Yeah. And,
I wondered, are the shrimp reminiscent of the ball?
Yeah. A rover. Yeah.
A rover.
Let's see. The new Pet Sematary we watched since the last time. And
was that since last
time? I think.
I've lost all track of everything. I'm sorry, guys.
And then, honestly, I wasn't as disappointed in that as I thought I would be. You know, people kind of crept all over that one, and I was like, I don't think I'm going to go see that. And, you know, but we got it and watched it, and I wasn't mad at it, you know.
I think if I remember watching the alternate endings, I actually like the alternate ending better.
Yeah, yeah, I think it went a lot. It made a little more sense, but we won't spoil that. But watch the movie and then go watch the alternate ending. Anything else as far as watching, streaming, viewing?
We've been into Big Brother, which...
Oh, yeah.
Our reality fix.
Yeah, we gotta do that. And I love how everyone... Oh, everyone's bullying and everyone's this and everybody's this. Like, it's a new thing. I mean, the show's been on for 20 freaking seasons now.
I mean, what was it? Season 15, 16, where there was that big...
Yeah.
Was it 15 or 16?
15, where there was quite a few. There was where they were making fun of the one Chinese girl. Mm-hmm. And then I think Julie even called out the one girl on that one. They made fun of everybody of color on that. And the one guy, I think his name was Andy, who I think he might have won that season.
Yeah.
And they made fun of him for being homosexual and stuff. So
it's like you said, it's not new. Does it make it right?
Right.
No, it doesn't make it right. It's not new.
Right. And people are like, this show is regular. Because now they had a black guy, black girl, a Latina,
and, an Asian girl,
an Indian
guy. Ovi was Indian.
And then everybody else, and
Cliff was.
He had Cliff, who was
fifties.
No, he's in his mid-50s, and everybody else were
white,
young white people. You know, like 30 and under. To us, that's young, because we're in our mid-40s. But...
we're old.
But people are like, this show is racist. And it's like, okay. You can give me examples, but what I'll say is the show is not racist. You can make a case that the people on the show are racist, because the black guy, the black girl, the Indian,
and the Asian,
are all evicted. And they tried getting out the old man. So you can definitely say that the remaining group.
Oh, and even the Latina. Jessica, she was on the...
Yeah, she was on the block, too. Well. So they... It happened to be that the minorities and the old guy were being targeted. Now, you can make a case that the remaining people in the house are biased or prejudiced. You can't make a case that the show is, because... show is a show. You know, it's a social experiment. Now, maybe with casting, maybe they should aim to make it a little more, you know, make it a little more even and see what happens. You know, I mean, because honestly, I mean, I don't know where everybody else lives. Where we live, there's pretty dang diverse. It's split right up the middle where we are. You know? And so maybe the show should actually reflect
that.
But anyhow, it is what it is.
But at the same point, though, I mean, I understand what you're saying, and I don't disagree. But there's also been rumors that producers and everything do try and push storylines through the diary room. So, I mean, we don't know. You know, you and I can't say because we're not there. So we don't know, you know, how much how much the producers and everything factor in through the diary room.
Right.
You know, they maybe they are steering the cart.
Mm-hmm. Right. And we're not, like you said, we don't know. And we're not the type of people. Yeah, we watch the show 3 nights a week. But we're not the type that sit there and watch old live feeds.
Now, every once in a while, we might try it. We might watch Pop or something. Well, now we can't.
Now we can't. Dish, yeah, we don't have it. But,
you know, past seasons, we've watched an episode on Pop here or there.
Yeah, it was like the After Dark.
But no, we've been watching that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to knock on wood because I want Cliff to stay.
Okay, yeah.
I want Cliff to win it.
Yeah.
This is actually the furthest, because he is, every season they've got somebody that's much older than everybody else, and if I'm not mistaken, I think he's made it the furthest that any of the older.
At very least, he made it the furthest without floating. Because he has earned.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, but you've got seasons where Danielle and her dad were on there.
Oh, right. Evil Dick?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, he was older, but that was set up that way.
Yeah.
And they were working as a team, and people didn't want to take Danielle out, so.
Right. And he was a character, too, man.
Yeah.
But
anyway, that's enough about Big Brother. But I think other than that, because of work and everything, and you know, you taking the kids to running club, and you've just kind of been busy on that front recently.
Right.
I'm still in the beginning stages and doing what I need to as far as Embrace God.
Right.
Church. So, you know.
Yeah. All right. Well, if you followed my Twitter feeds or the Facebook group or anything, you know
if
that...
If you know us at all.
If you know us at all. You know that I was retweeting about the film The Lost Skeleton Returns again that was coming out on Blu-ray. From Larry Blamire. And once again, if you know anything about me, go. All right. You know what? I'll start from the beginning with my love of what we're going into here. This is going back, when we lived in Florida. You were working at Books A Million, I believe.
I know I worked there. I'm not sure.
Yeah. This is back then. So I would go to Movie Gallery on any given night, rent about 3 or 4 films, come home, watch them, next day, return them, come back, you know. And just one day I was going through a movie gallery and I see this movie on the shelf that advertised itself as a homage to 50s B movies. So I'm like, hell, I love 50s B movies. I read the back and said, alright, let me bring this home. So I brought it home, popped it in, and it was this movie called The Lost Skeleton of Kadabra. And I watched it, and I died laughing, and fell in love with it. Then I hit the menu button and realized there was not one but two audio commentaries on it. So I watched it a second time.
And then a third
with
time.
The cast and crew commentary. And I watched it. No, I'm sorry. There was a cast and director commentary. And then I watched it a third time with the crew commentary. And then I realized, well, the guy who wrote it also directed it, and he was the lead, so he was in both commentaries. So, in one night, I watched the film three times. Then Michelle came home from work and said, Michelle, you gotta watch this movie. So we sat down and I watched it a fourth time. And this movie, if you're not familiar, and go see it, it's on Prime right now. It was shot in Bronson Canyon, California, where they filmed Robot Monster with the one with the gorilla with the scuba helmet on. And they have a science classroom skeleton on a string. And dialogue that is just so beautifully written, straight from a 50s B movie. Well, it was shot on digital video, I believe. But it was edited, and it's in black and white. And just looks like an authentic 50s B movie. It is probably, it's in my top 20 of favorite movies of all time.
Well, I would think so after watching it four times in one night.
But it's probably one of my most seen films.
Yes. It quickly became one of your, okay, it's time to go to bed, we need to put something on the TV.
Yeah.
And Lost Skeleton.
Yeah, I've got a few films like that. Lost Skeleton is one.
Dark and Stormy Night, also by...
Yeah, Dark and Stormy Night, also by Larry Blumeyer.
Best in Show.
Best in Show is one. Mighty Wind is one.
Waiting for Guffman.
And Waiting for Guffman is one. Yeah, so anything Larry Blumeyer made or Christopher Guest made. Pretty much. I don't know. That's...
But see, but then I'm the type of person, you can go to sleep watching those.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy the movie so much that I stay up and watch them every single time.
Yeah.
So I cannot tell you how many times I have seen these movies. Because I watch the whole thing until the credits come on, and then fall asleep. You fall asleep within the first...
Right.
10, 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Well, and actually, we had an opportunity, two opportunities, to meet Larry Blumeyer at the South Carolina, the SC Comic Con that they have up here in Greenville every, I think, was it March?
Yeah.
I think it's March. And the first annual one and the second annual, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Which is actually why we went, because we saw on Facebook that he was going to be there, so we went. And at that point, he had Lost Skeleton on DVD, the sequel on DVD, Dark and Stormy Night on DVD, and there wasn't an American release of Cho is Screaming Forehead. I didn't have that one yet.
Did we go and sit in on the showing, on the viewing The first year or the second
year? Second year.
Okay, yeah, because the girl, I remember the girls being with us.
Right,
yeah,
the so first was, year, okay, yeah, the first year was us year. And Killian.
Okay.
And then we took them the second day when we realized that we can negotiate a double stroller.
Okay. I still remember the girls after the viewing. Tip, 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 tip.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did we want to talk about that?
Yeah, there's a scene. Well, okay, the first movie, we'll give you a brief rundown of it. There's a couple, Paul and Betty Armstrong. He is a scientist. She's a scientist's wife. And this takes place in the late 50s. And they go to a cabin because he is trying to find this meteor that contains this rare element, atmosphere.
And she's trying to kind of turn it into a vacation slash work.
Right. And with that, there's another scientist who is looking for the lost skeleton who is up in Cadaver Cave. And the thing to help bring the skeleton back to life to rule the world. Why that's a thing? Because it is. The only thing that could bring that skeleton back to life is Atmospherium. Throw in two aliens, a husband and wife couple, Crowbar and Lattice, whose ship, they make an emergency stop, and they need an element to help their ship take off. Lo and behold, Atmospherium.
Dun, dun, dun.
And you throw in a escape mutant who does some horrible mutilations. And here's your movie. Well, the two aliens want to...
They don't want people, obviously, to know they're from another planet.
Right. So they pose as humans. With a Bamin and Targasso?
Yeah, Targasso.
Targasso and Bamin, because those are Earth names. And they're following the patterns of the humans to not seem, you know, so suspicious. Okay. So then the other scientist, wow, this is actually a bit harder to explain. He finds a gun that will transmutate things, and he makes a girl named Animala, played by Jennifer Blair. So he's brings her. Somehow they all end up at
the cabin.
At the cabin together. And they're sitting down for dinner. So
the part that our girls caught on to and thought was absolutely hilarious. Yes.
See, Animala is made of four different forest creatures.
Hence, so, Animala.
So she's trying to drink at the dinner table, but she's going to put her face down to lap up her drink. And Rudolf Jaeger, the other scientist, is coaching her on how to drink like a human. So he takes the cup and goes, tip, 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 tip. To which Animala takes the cup and goes, tip, 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 tip. Crowbar and Lattice take a cue from her. So they grab their cup and go, tip, 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 tip.
And to this day, sometimes when our girls are drinking, you just... Tip, 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 tip.
Tip, 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 tip. Oh, Larry, I apologize. I did not do that justice. But.
Well, I think you did. And, well, any movie that's worth its weight, which this definitely is, no wording is going to produce what the movie itself produces.
Correct.
So it's. You can describe it till the cows come home, but you won't understand it until you watch it.
Right.
And can put it all into perspective.
Right. So, that movie is definitely one worth seeing. Like I said, it's on Prime. Go check it out. Well, he made, a few years later, he came out with two films back-to-back. I ordered them from Shout Factory at the time. On DVD. The Lost Skeleton Returns Again. Which is redundant, but...
Well, there's more of your 50s B.
Right.
Horror.
Right. And, well, in this one, because the next stream, you know, you had your 50s B, and then a few years later, you had your Saturday Matinee, you know, Jungle Adventure type of films. Well, this follows that pattern. And it's, you know, you have Paul and Betty, and then you have inexplicable twins of people who have died in the previous film.
Which we won't give names to.
And then you have a return of a few others, and a couple other great characters. They go on this jungle expedition to the Amazon to find a rare rock element called Geranium 90, and hijinks ensue in that film. And Larry just came out with this movie on Blu-ray. Very, very good Blu-ray. This one only has one audio commentary. However, he has about 2 hours plus of bonus features, some featurettes, short films. There's a Lost Skeleton music video in here, because Michael Graves, formerly of the Misfits, did a Lost Skeleton song, like a horror punk type of song. And the video for that is on here. What else we have? Like I said, there's a few films that Larry, short films that Larry did. Also, while I'm talking about short films, on YouTube, if you look up Tales from the Pub, it's a series of short movies, probably about, I don't think any of them are any longer than 8 or 9 minutes. That are just little vignettes, and they're hilarious. Odd, but hilarious. Kind of seems to be his vein. But along with the DVD that we got, because we
helped with our Kickstarter.
We helped with the Kickstarter. You know, I pushed that to the hilt. But we had donated, and we ended up getting a pin, a Lost Skeleton pin, a refrigerator magnet, and a series of trading cards that Larry had made. And a digital PDF file of the screenplay.
Yeah.
So, that was well worth. And I just heard, I don't know if you did, I think I might have posted it on the Facebook group, but Larry is looking into the idea of another Kickstarter to do a Blu-ray of his sci-fi movie, Trail of the Screaming Forehead. And it is available on DVD, but it is overseas DVD, and it won't play on your regular DVD player, but it will play on Blu-ray, and it will play on Xbox. Okay. I have that one, and that is the director's cut. So years ago, IFC, back before they played commercials, I mean, I'm going back maybe 10 years ago, they showed a version of Charlie's Screaming Forehead, and I had had it on DVR until I had it on there for a while, and then something happened where everything got wiped out.
Yeah, I don't know. We have gone to delete either a show or a series.
Right.
And somehow it deleted everything in our DVR.
So, and that was the producer's cut. But it was still a great movie. I mean, the only way we were going to see it. And then I ended up on, I forgot what it was, eBay or somewhere, getting the DVD of Charlie's Screaming Forehead. And that movie is kind of, it's your 50s alien invasion movie, along the line of, like, The Blob, even, you know, Killer Clowns from Outer Space type of thing, where, you know, a meteorite or something lands on Earth, you go to investigate it, and lo and behold, there are these foreheads.
Yes, you heard that right.
Foreheads.
Not four heads.
No, like, not four heads rolling around, like, hey, where? No, actual front.
Foreheads.
Carapace of a forehead. That crawl around and possess people. And it's, I love it. I will say it's not my favorite one, but it's still a dang good time. Larry uses the same groups of people. You know, he's got his players in every movie, and
they always do a great job.
Always do a great job. But that one also has James Karen in it from Return of the Living Dead, Poltergeist. For those of us who lived in the tri-state area in the 80s, he was the Pathmark guy. So he was in that one. Dick Miller was in that one also. Anyone listening to this podcast probably knows who Dick Miller is. He played Mr. Futterman in Gremlins. He was in a bunch of Roger Corman movies. But Larry is thinking of doing a Kickstarter and putting that out on Blu-ray. So let's hope that happens. Mm-hmm.
We'll be there to support you again, Larry.
We sure will. As much as I love Lost Skeleton, my favorite one to me, my favorite Larry Blamire movie has to be Dark and Stormy Night.
I will agree with you 110%.
Yeah.
Even though I never go over 100.
Yeah, you can't. But.
Well, I will agree with you 110% because I want to.
Okay. But.
I don't feel good. Give me 100%.
I'll give you an extra 10. Dark and Stormy Night is a throwback to your 1930s old dark house movies where a group of people meet together on a dark and stormy night for the reading of a will. You know, there's a whole ensemble of people, and then strange crap happens. People start dying, there's, you know, either a ghost or a murderer, or a ghost of a murderer, a horrible strangulation, you know, everything. And this film has all that, including a gorilla.
I just love the way, I love watching it because of the way it was shot.
Yeah.
It's just beautiful.
I mean, you look at that movie and you're thinking, you're watching a old 30s film, and the dialogue in this movie has your quick wit 30s. You don't take a breath between sentences. You know, your two main characters in this movie, one, the girl is I'm sorry. The guy in the film is 8 O'Clock Faraday.
Yes.
And he is played by Daniel Roebuck, who was in Matlock. He's actually in Lost Skeleton Returns again. He was in The River's Edge. He played Samson in The River's Edge. He's this, you know, reporter looking for this big scoop. Okay? And then Jennifer Blair comes in, and she is, I forgot her name. Gosh darn it.
Yeah, as many times as I've seen
as
it,
much as I've seen it, and I can skipping. Picture him calling her.
Mm-hmm.
He's 8 O'Clock Faraday. Is she Billy Tuesday?
Might be, yeah.
Yeah. If I'm wrong on that, I apologize. But the two of them just...
That whole scene when they first go into the parlor and mm-hmm. and they're going the back and forth and the yeah, oh yeah.
Oh, why I order, you know, it's that type of, you know. Just... Yeah, it's that quick wit. I mean, just amazing. Jimmy Caron is in that one too.
Brian
Howe? Oh, Brian Howe is in everything. Yeah, I mean, he's... Not only is he in every TV show you'll ever see, Brian Howe, he was in Annabelle Creation. He played the father of Annabelle. You know, the girl that got possessed who killed her parents. He was the father in that. He was in Pursuit of Happiness. He was the boss of the Rubik's Cube. Mm-hmm. He was in that. He was in, like I said, every TV show. Longmire, 9-1-1. Just everything Ryan Howe was in. Great actor. Jim Beaver is yes. in Dark and Stormy Night. As a hunting guide. And I thought, I'm like, it's Jim Beaver. And I didn't even want Supernatural back then, but I had known him from Harper's Island. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Dark and Stormy Night, you gotta see that. And that disc, the DVD on that one is kind of cool. Because that had two commentaries also on that one. However, there was also a special, because it was shot in black and white, but they also had a colorized version on the DVD. So you can watch, and that is actually gorgeous too. Just the color saturation on that. So, wow.
I would still choose to watch it in black and white every time.
I would too, yeah. I mean,
nothing wrong with the color. Like you said, it was still,
yeah,
still beautiful. But I don't know. There's just something about that black and white.
Yeah, I mean, it's something with the color. You know, the shadows and the contrast that the black and white really.
Well, it also brings you back to the time era that it's, you know.
Yeah, because the colorized version does look like, you know, in the 90s when you would watch an old black and white movie on Turner. You know,
that got colorized.
That got colorized, you know. And you're like, okay, it doesn't sit well. You know, when you're watching Frank Sinatra and his blue eyes are brown, it didn't sit well. But, like I said, as beautiful as that colorized version of Larry's film is, the black and white is awesome. So those are... Those are the written and directed and starring, because Larry's in them,
mm-hmm.
all of them also. Films of Larry Blumeyer. I could go on forever, but I don't necessarily feel the need to. Go watch the first Lost Skeleton on Prime. Order the Lost Skeleton Returns again. You can still get it. Go on my Facebook, and I have a link to it. on my Twitter. I have a link to it. Hit me up. I'll give you a link to it. Go to Lost Skeleton Facebook page. Go on Larry's Facebook page. I'm sure he doesn't mind. He's got links. Any final Lost Skeleton words? Or any Larry Glenn Meyer words?
No, I think we pretty much.
Yeah. Okay.
I think that was a good, nice round.
Yep. Yeah. So we're going to call it?
I think so.
All right. Yeah, we're keeping this one.
Feel bad for maybe keeping this a little bit shorter, but
yeah.
I know that I'm not my...
Right.
I hate to keep repeating that, but...
Yeah, and we're not going to dump into the, you know, any of our normal things. We're going to keep this one lightened up. And, what are we going to call this? We're going to call this the, I don't know, I'll think of a witty title for that. And, so just to close out, I want to thank the Farsighted Network again for hosting us. Justin, thank you. Go listen to Grindhouse Messiah.
You had a cut. You had played last week for me a shout out that we had that we should probably.
Oh, couple of shout outs. Oh, thank you. Yeah, Pint of Comics, Johnny Ganache, Sir John, the Manster. Thank you. I appreciate the shout out on your show. You hit me right in the feels. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, Drunk in a Graveyard. Robin and Scott, thank you for shouting us out. That was the same week.
Mm-hmm.
I got double barrel.
Yeah, I remember you just sending me a text.
I was like, ah, this is cool. You know, so really, once again, thank you. Also, Say It Podcast. I just recorded with Keith last weekend, so it should be out. I mean, at the time of recording this. It was last weekend. So, that one should be out. So, go listen to that. That was fun. I think I'm going to be... I know Aaron with... Aaron Sturdivant from Horror with Sir Sturdy. We're supposed to be getting together. So, that'll happen. Father and Son Watch Horror. Pastor Matt and the Sun, listen to that show, and that's it. We love y'all.
Yep.
We have a new exit song too, outro.
Cool.
So listen to that. Be decent to each other. Love y'all.